Thank you for joining Word of Life Church. And now, Pastor Joel Sims.
And turn to someone, welcome them to Word of Life Church tonight. Let them know how glad you are to see them here. We certainly are glad to have each and every one of you here with us. I want to make mention that this coming Wednesday night, we have a special First Wednesday service. Typically, there are some exceptions to this rule, but typically, every first Wednesday, we do something different. We do something special. It's really an extended night of worship. And occasionally, not only do we do an extended night of just praise and worship, but we'll also do what we call a night of healing, where we talk about healing for a couple of minutes. And then during the worship service, we lay hands on the sick and pray with the sick and believe God to see His healing power in manifestation in their life. How many of you know Jesus is still the healer? Amen. He just wasn't the healer or was the healer. He is the healer, both today and forevermore. And we've seen so many wonderful miracles and healings throughout the history of this church. And one of those miracles we're going to hear about Wednesday night from someone who worships right here at Word of Life. They're going to give a testimony of how they were healed from an incurable disease. And so if you know of anyone who's in need of healing, I want to invite you to not only come yourself, but to invite them as well. We believe that the Lord's going to show up. Amen. So don't forget about that. That's this Wednesday. For those of you who are not familiar with the service, it starts at 7 o'clock. And just like all of our services, child care and youth and children's church and all of those things are richly provided. Aren't you thankful for all of our dream teamers who work in those departments? Amen. You know, I say this a lot, but every time you pick up your kids, you ought to tell them thank you. Because they are not being paid to take care of your kids. They are volunteers. They are some of the most important people we have here at Word of Life. So make sure you tell them thank you. I heard one preacher say this. I kind of liked it. I thought, you know, I need to do that. He said, you know, if you have any gift cards laying around your house that have been going unclaimed. You know, I read this the other day. I think it was in Newsweek or something like that, that something like $3.6 some odd million dollars just within the Southeast alone of unclaimed gift cards are out there, meaning you know you got a $10 gift card to Target that's been sitting in your drawer for 5 years and you haven't used the thing. Well, there's a lot of that out there, and so this pastor was talking about that, and he was saying, you know, you ought to bring those gift cards to those volunteers back there and just bless them. He's kind of joking about it, but you know, you ought to be a blessing to those people who have been a blessing to you. And so if nothing else, bless them with your words every time you pick up your children. Amen? We're so glad to have you with us tonight. I know I've said that many times, but I'm going to say it again. We are glad to have you here with us. And if you're joining us by podcast or by radio, we're certainly glad you tuned in with us. Come see us sometime. Let's open up our Bibles tonight to the book of John. Not little John, big John. You know, you've got three little Johns, one big John. We're going to big John. Big John chapter 14. On the screens, if you can pull up 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 in the Message Bible. John chapter 14 in your Bibles, on the screens, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 in the Message Bible. I also want to encourage those who may be listening to this online that you occasionally set aside some time to not only listen to this in the car or on your way to work, but actually set up shop and take notes with us and sit down at an office or around a devotional time and go through the scriptures with us. Book of John, John chapter 14. On the screen, 2 Corinthians 13, 14 in the Message. Let's look at this. I love this scripture. Paul is writing here to the church at Corinth, and he says, "The amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you." Isn't that good? I like that in the Message Bible. He says, there are three things I want for every single one of you. This is not reserved for the spiritual elite. This is not just for preachers or teachers or pastors. This is something I desire for each and every one of you. He says, I want you to experience the amazing grace of Jesus. I want you to experience the extravagant love of God. And I want you to have in your life the intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. Now, here we see that there are three parts of the Godhead. We call them the blessed three in one. You have the Father, you have the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit. And here he highlights the main thing you are to receive as a Christian from each one of the members of the Godhead. Now, all three could give you many things, but here he highlights the main thing each one is to give you. He says, in your life, you are to receive amazing grace from Jesus. And how many of you know, if you've received Jesus, you have received amazing grace. In fact, we just sang about it, that in our sins, yes, even then, his blood was poured out for us. And with that, grace is simply that. It's unmerited favor. You can't work for it. You can't deserve it. You can't earn it. He just gives it to you. And there's a lot of teaching, as well as there should be right now, in the body of Christ on grace that comes from Jesus. Then he says, not only should you be receiving amazing grace from Jesus, but you should be receiving extravagant love from the Father God. The main thing we get from Jesus is amazing grace. The main thing you and I are to receive from the Father is extravagant love. And aren't you thankful he has loved you? That God so loved us that he gave us Jesus. Jesus gave us grace, but Jesus could have never given us grace had God not given us Jesus. And in his amazing love, he gave us that amazing gift. But notice, not only am I to be receiving extravagant love from the Father and amazing grace from Jesus, I am also to be receiving intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. And what I see in the body of Christ today, this is just my observation, you may see something different, but what I see is that there are a whole lot of people who know a lot about the grace that comes from Jesus, as well as we should. And there's a big emphasis on the amazing love you can receive from God, and there should be. But there seems to me as if there's not a whole lot of knowledge on the Holy Spirit, much less an intimate friendship with him. In fact, most people, I would say, would be an acquaintance with the Holy Spirit. You know, they know of him. They know him through someone. Or maybe they were in a service and they were told it was a Holy Ghost service. And so maybe they thought he passed by or something. But most people do not have an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. My question to you would be, why not? Paul says you and I are to, all of us, are to have an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. In fact, I go as far as to say this, in God's eyes, the Holy Spirit is to be our best friend, our counselor, our teacher, our guide. We'll go into all of these things. But my goal in teaching on this weekend, as well as probably in upcoming weekends, however long the Lord leads us to teach on this, is to teach on the Holy Spirit in such a way that it inspires you to desire an intimate friendship and relationship with the Holy Spirit. That you come to know him, that you come to understand him, that you see that with any friendship there must be communication, there must be a sharing of life together. And how to do that? How do you commune with the Holy Spirit? How do you share life with the Holy Spirit? How do you make the Holy Spirit your closest friend? It starts off by realizing that the Holy Spirit is not what a lot of people think He is. I know most of you in this room don't have this problem, but there are some people in the body of Christ today who think the Holy Spirit is a dove. How many of you know the Holy Spirit is not a dove? Now, in all four Gospels, they write that the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove, but He is not a dove. If I said He is strong as an ox, it doesn't make Him an ox. If I said she runs like the wind, it doesn't make her wind. There are people who think that the Holy Spirit is like a flame of fire. John saw Him as a flame of fire in the book of Revelations. In the book of Acts, He came and appeared like a flame of fire. But keep in mind, when John saw the flame of fire and being the Holy Spirit, he also saw Jesus as a lamb. How many of you know, when you see Jesus, He's not going to grovel up to you on all fours and say, bah. No, Jesus is a person. And the Holy Spirit is a person. He is someone you can know. He is someone I can grieve. He is someone I can please. He is someone I can sadden. He is someone I can bring joy to. He's got a mind. He's got emotions. When Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit, we're going to read what Jesus said about Him, because if there's anyone who would know Him, it would be Jesus. When Jesus talked about Him in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, Jesus called the Holy Spirit He, Him, or Himself 19 times. Jesus knew the Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person you can know. He's a person you can walk with. And when you understand why He's been given to us, you develop a deep yearning to know Him, to walk with Him, to never grieve Him, and to always listen to Him. At this point, when we're about to read in John, Jesus is telling His disciples He's going to leave them. He's at what we would call the Last Supper. And before He goes to the cross, He has a meal with His disciples, celebrates Passover, and then He starts sharing with them. Now, I've said this before, but Jesus here knows He's about to die. He knows He's about to go to the cross. And if I know I'm about to die, I'm going to do what Jesus did. I'm going to call the people who are closest to me in my life to me, like He did with His disciples, and I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to talk to them about the things that matter most. And this is why you ought to read John chapter 14, 15, and 16 as often as you can, because you've got a continuous lesson from Jesus. Chapter after chapter here is Jesus having a conversation with His disciples about things that I believe mean the most to Jesus. And in these chapters, He talks in depth about another Comforter. In fact, that's the title of tonight's message. Another Comforter. You can imagine while Jesus is saying He is going to leave them, the disciples are getting antsy. They've left everything for Jesus, and now Jesus is telling them He's going to leave them. As Jesus is telling them this, He sees the angst come on their face. How many of you know a picture's worth a thousand words sometimes? And while they're not interrupting Jesus, they see very clearly. Jesus sees very clearly from their faces. They are deeply disturbed by this. So He tells them, "Fear not, little flock." I add that. He said that in another place. I just like saying it. "Fear not, little flock. I am not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to give you another Comforter. And He will be with you forever." Forever, He is with those who have called upon Jesus. Instead of me just talking about it, let's actually read it. John chapter 14, and let's look here in verse 16. John 14 and verse 16. Notice this. He says, "And I will pray to the Father, and He will give you," underline it, "another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." Well, who is this other Comforter? "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now go down to verse 26, John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, underline it, which is the Holy Ghost. Who's this other Comforter? Who's this person that Jesus is saying is coming next? It's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things. Well, that means he's got to be talking to you. It also means you can understand him. You can hear him. How many of you know it's not like Charlie Brown's teacher? No. None of that. If he's going to teach you, it means he speaks, and it also means you can understand him. When's the last time the Holy Spirit taught you something? He said, not only will he teach you, but he will bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now go over to John chapter 15, verse 26. We're going to come back to John 14. But let's just read what Jesus said about the Comforter here. John chapter 15, and let's look at verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, now keep in mind, this is not like a lot of the chapters in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where it's skipping events. Jesus is having one continuous conversation. John 14, 15, 16, all the way over into John 17, is Jesus having one particular conversation with his disciples. So he's emphasizing the Comforter over and over again. Verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds of the Father, he will testify of me. And you also shall bear witness, because he has been with me from the beginning. Now notice this in John chapter 16 and go down to verse 13. Well, let's read verse 7 and then we'll finish in verse 13. John 16, verse 7, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you, it is good for you that I go away. Somebody says, well, if I could just walk with Jesus. Jesus said, this is going to be better than walking with me. Why? I go to sleep. The Comforter's awake all the time. If you were just going to walk with Jesus today and Jesus was just here in the flesh, how many of you know all of us would be over there right now? And there'd be a lot of other people over flying into Tel Aviv to go see Jesus. And there'd be a line at least a million deep to just spend some time with him. Jesus knew there's something better than this. What is it? It's the Holy Spirit who can be with you and also in you, in all of you. When you are awake, when you wake up in the middle of the night, you can wake up and talk to him. He said, it's good for you that I go. Why? For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot now bear them. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you. I love that. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will receive of mine and will show it unto you. All right? Now go back to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and let's look here in verse 16. With all this in mind, John 14, verse 16. He says, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you, we're going to major on these two words tonight, and then we'll close, pick up next week. He will give you, underline it, another Comforter. Now, at this time, the disciples know very, very little about the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is using this conversation to teach them on a very simple level about him and his ministry in their life. Years ago, I was praying, and I wasn't praying in anything in particular, I was just praying. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, when you preach, I want you to preach primarily on three things. He said, number one, 50% of the time, I want you to teach on love. Teach the people how to love me. Teach the people how to love one another. So anytime we teach on envy or strife or unforgiveness or how God loves you or any of those types of things, that's in obedience to that instruction. 50% of the time, the Lord told me, teach on that. He said 25% of the time, teach on faith. Move the people over in a position of faith so they pray from faith, receive healing through faith. Teach faith like Jesus taught faith. 25% of the time, be teaching on faith. He said the remainder 25% of the time, teach the people on the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. A lot of people think that the Holy Spirit's job is to, in some shape or form, manifest in a church service. I have a mandate on my life to teach people how the Holy Spirit is to manifest himself in their life, in your life. That the Holy Spirit is not just reserved for preachers. You, and when I say you, I mean you, all of you, are to have an intimate friendship with him. An intimate friendship with him. And so Jesus knew what I know now. When he's telling them this, they know very little about him. So he's going to educate them. And the way he educates them is by doing something very simple that if you read through this, you'll miss it if you don't understand what they understood when Jesus said what he said. He said, look, I know I'm leaving you, but don't worry. I'm going to send you another comforter. Now, those two words mean so much. Let's talk about the first one. Another. If you can put up my screen for me, there are two definitions for another, or two words, you could say, in the Greek, if you can pull that up for me. There we go. Another in the Greek has two words that mean another in the Greek. Two words for it. The first one is heteros, and it means another of a different sort. The second is allos, and it means another of the same kind. And if you doubt me on any of this, please, please, just Google these words and ask, what do these words mean in the Greek? And you will see I am not lying to you. Heteros, another of a different sort. Allos, another of the same kind. Now, a lot of our words that we use in English, they have their origin from Greek words. For instance, heteros, we have a word for that today, heterosexual. A heterosexual relationship is a relationship between two people who are different. They're both humans, but they are different, male and female. So they're the same, but at the same, they're both humans, but at the same time, they're different. Does that make sense? So yes, it's a human, but it's a different kind of human. Allos is another of the same kind, meaning it's something different, but at the same time, it's just like the other thing. I'll give you an example. If you were to come up and I said, hey, would you like a Coke? And you say, yes, I would like a Coke. And I give you a real Coke, the real thing, baby, the real thing. I give you a Coke and you drink the Coke and I ask you, would you like another Coke? Well, heteros, another of a different sort, would mean, yes, I gave you a Coke, but it's entirely different Coke. I don't care how much they say it tastes like that. It doesn't taste like that. You drink, yeah, amen, amen, that's right. That's the biggest hand clap I've gotten in 2 weeks of preaching, was people agreeing with me that Diet Coke doesn't taste like regular Coke. But with this, Diet Coke, it does not taste like Coke, but it is Coke. It's a different kind of Coke, though. They're both Cokes, but it's a different kind of Coke. That would be heteros. But if I gave you another Coke, Yes, it's two different entities, right? But it's going to do the exact same thing. It's going to taste exactly the same as the other Coke. That would be aloes. When Jesus is talking here, he says, I will give you another comforter. This is huge, big part of my message. He says, I'll give you another comforter. It is critical to understand which one he used. If he used heteros, another of a different sort, the disciples would have no clue how the Holy Spirit would operate, because he would be different entirely. He would be a comforter, but it would be a different sort of a comforter than they currently had in Jesus. But Jesus did not use heteros. Instead, he used aloes. When he said, I will give you another comforter, he said, yes, it'll be a different comforter than me, but the comforter who's coming will do the exact same thing as me that I did for you while I was here. I'm going to give you someone just like me. The Holy Spirit is not a different kind of God. He doesn't do weird, spooky things that Jesus did not do. The Holy Spirit is another comforter who's formed and fashioned just like Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's saying here, now that you've seen me, when you see the Holy Spirit, he's going to be just like me. I love Jesus. Don't you? Do I have any Jesus lovers in here? I love Jesus. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed to say I know Jesus, because Jesus has radically altered and changed the course of my life. He has filled my life with so much grace, so much goodness, so much mercy, so much tenderness. He's been so patient with me. Jesus has changed my life. I love him. I adore him. He's changed me. I am also deeply in love with the Holy Spirit. I am unashamed to say I am Spirit-filled. I am unashamed to say the Holy Spirit is my intimate, close friend. Somebody says, well, how can you say that? Because he's just like Jesus. And when you know the Holy Spirit, you understand he is not weird, spooky, or strange. That there are some weird, spooky, strange people, but they were that way before the Holy Spirit. They'd be strange, weird, and spooky playing cards. They're just strange people. Come on now. The Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. He's just as wonderful as Jesus. He's just as marvelous as Jesus. And what we need today is people to understand his ministry. We need to understand him. You can't walk with someone and know them intimately if you don't understand them. And when Jesus said, I'm giving you another comforter, immediately it calmed the disciples down. And there's a reason why he used that word another. He didn't just say, I'm going to give you a comforter. He said, I'm going to give you another comforter. He was letting them know that what I have been doing for you, someone's going to come and do the exact same thing. So, but people have this connotation. Well, what about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit? And what about that? Because you may have seen some things, or you may have heard about some things, or your kid was sitting in service with you and you thought that's kind of weird or spooky or strange. What about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit? Let's talk about that for a minute. We'll actually probably kind of wind down service with this. Let's talk about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. It seems to me that whatever chief part of the Godhead that is giving preeminence in different dispensations is always the part of God that is misunderstood the most. In the Old Testament, the part of the Godhead that was on the scene during that time was God the Father. And you see people come to God the Father. And especially, you see this in the lives of the children of Israel when they're delivered out of Egyptian captivity. you have a whole segment of people who want to see the Father's power. Show us your power. Manifest yourself to us. And then God does, and he comes and like sits on a mountain and melts the thing. And then the very people who were crying out for God's power are screaming out at the top of their lungs, no, we're not doing that. Moses, you go talk to God. We're going to stand over here at the doorway of the tent, because who knows what God the Father's going to do. With God the Father, you just never know what God the Father's going to do. And so you've got all these people on one side screaming, manifest, manifest, manifest. And then you've got another group of people on the other end who are just as much a part of the nation of Israel as everyone else, shouting, no, don't manifest. No, when you manifest, it scares us. And God the whole time, you know what he's saying? It's not about my power. It's about my relationship. What I want is a relationship in your life. And out of a relationship with you will come, keyword, beautiful manifestations that lead every person who sees them closer to God and not further away from him. Because when he manifests, it's manifesting out of a relationship and not just out of a demonstration of the power of the Father. Then Jesus comes on the scene in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you got a whole bunch of people. I want to see a sign. I want to see a manifestation. I want to see it. I want to see it. I want to see it. And Jesus talked about this a lot. People want to show, want me to show them a sign. You got the guy on one end of the cross saying, Lord, remember me when you get to heaven. And the other guy next to him is saying, manifest, Jesus. If you really are the Son of God, get yourself off this cross and get me off this cross. That's a pretty good prayer when you're being crucified. And with this, Jesus faced this his entire ministry. Manifest. And then he would manifest. And the very people who were asking him to manifest got angry with him. You know what? They didn't have a relationship with him. And Jesus the whole time is saying the same thing God the Father did. I didn't come here just to show you a sign. Who I am is more important than what I do. Have you ever met someone who only wanted you for what you could do for them? And they had no desire for you to just know them. They solely sought what you could do for them. And here you have Jesus who says, when you walk in a relationship with me, you will see beautiful manifestations of my power. And there will be some things you see in your life that when you see these things, you will walk away from them and have your life completely altered and changed. That there were ladies who were incredible, incredible sinners in deep sin, but they made a relationship with Jesus, and Jesus manifested his glory in their life, and it so changed them. So cleansed them that they walked with him. And through that walk, they saw beautiful manifestations that were not spooky or scary, but led to people being drawn to Jesus out of the woodwork. And now in our dispensation, Jesus said it's going to be the Holy Spirit. And you've got people doing the same thing to the Holy Spirit that they did to Jesus in Jesus's day and God the Father's day, all the way back in the Old Testament. You've got some people saying, manifest, manifest, manifest. And you got a whole bunch of other people saying, no, when you manifest, there's no telling what you're going to do. And a whole time the Holy Spirit is saying, you couldn't be further from the truth. What I want, what I crave, is a relationship with you. And out of this relationship will come beautiful manifestations that will alter the course of your life forever. A lot of people think that the Holy Spirit is like God's kind of wild child, you know, that just kind of, you know, you never know what's going to happen when he shows up. But think about it. When you see the Holy Spirit, when do you see him first? couple verses into the Bible in Genesis. Is he causing chaos? He's hovering across the face of chaos. And the Father speaks and the Holy Spirit manifests and turns chaos into absolute beauty. If there was anyone who was ever more yielded to the Holy Spirit, it was Jesus. Jesus was more yielded to the Holy Spirit than anyone in this room or anyone you've ever met. Jesus was yielded to the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this. Did Jesus scare little children? No. Were sinners scared of Jesus? No. In fact, it was the sinners who wanted Jesus the most. And when Paul talks about the Holy Spirit, he says, when the Holy Spirit does manifest in your life, sinners will report that God is in you in truth. They will not walk away. You can read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. They will not walk away thinking, these people are nuts. They will walk away thinking, that was the most beautiful touch from God I have ever experienced in my life. I'll give you an example of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. If you want to know how to manifest, 1 Corinthians 12 tells us plainly the nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit. I'll give you an example from this week. Me and my wife, a couple of weeks ago, we canceled our anniversary trip. We had just a lot of things come up. And every year for our anniversary, we go see the Red Sox play. And we were going to go see the Red Sox play the Minnesota Twins. And we were excited about that, going to go up to Minneapolis, but plans changed. So we canceled that trip, no big deal. But the last couple of weeks, I have just been amazingly busy. Productive. I'll use that word, productive. And on Monday, I woke up and read the paper and saw the Red Sox are playing the Atlanta Braves on Monday and Tuesday. And when I read that, I said, I am going to those games. I'm going to drive over there. I'm going to take my wife. So I cleared my work schedule, took my wife over there, had a great time watching the Braves help the Red Sox break their 10-game losing streak. I wish we could play the Braves every week. Now, if you're a Braves fan, no, they're my second favorite team. But anyway, I'm just poking fun at Braves fans. But anyway, great games, great time. But we're driving home on Thursday. And it's raining like it's been raining, you know, just sporadically. And we're driving through Birmingham, and we decide to stop. You know, Birmingham's kind of about halfway in between Atlanta and Jackson. And we pull off. Once again, I'm talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life, in the life of the believer. And so I pull off the interstate, and we stop at the Chevron to get gas. And I put the gas thing in, and me and my wife, we go inside, and we're going to get some water and whatnot, and go pay for the water, see the lady behind the cash register, and that was it. Paid for my water, and I'm walking out the gas station, and I'm getting to the automatic glass doors that open, and as soon as I walk through those doors, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. Now, he's about to manifest. He spoke to my heart and he said, I want you to take out all the money in your wallet and give it to that lady and tell her that God loves her. I walk, Father. True story. I walk, Father. Get back underneath the overhang. And I hear it again in my heart. I want you to take out all the money in your wallet and give it to the lady behind the cash register and let her know God loves her. I walk to the car. No, it's true. I walk to the car. And finally, I open up the door for my wife and I tell her, I said, I got to go back inside. I said, the Holy Spirit is dealing with my heart to give the lady behind the cash register all of my money that's in my wallet and to tell her God loves her. And so my wife says, great, and just walks around to the car. I tell her, can you get the receipt for me from the gas tank? So she's going to get the receipt. I'm walking towards the door. And so my wife screams at me. It's raining. She says, get the receipt from the lady. I'm like, okay. So because the thing went in print. So I walk in the gas station. There's a guy there who's buying beer, ironically, and all of those things. So I kind of wait for him to leave because I don't want to cause a scene or any of those types of things. You get leery of people who want to cause a scene. But anyway, I just go over and act like I'm looking at granola bars and wait for him to leave. He leaves the gas station, and I go up to the lady, and she didn't realize I was in there. When she saw me, she jumped. I jumped when she jumped, and we kind of laughed about that. And she sounded like she was from France almost. She kind of had that type of accent. But anyway, I told her, I said, I'm a Christian. Like I said, I'm unashamed of Jesus. I told her, I said, I'm a Christian. I said, I don't know where you're at in your relationship with God, but I'm a Christian. And when I was walking out, I felt the Lord speak to my heart and tell me to give you all the money in my wallet and to let you know that the Lord loves you. And I get my wallet, take out all the money, hand it to her. She starts looking through it, and she looks up at me and says, I'm speechless. And the whole time she's talking, I'm waiting. Well, what am I waiting on? I'm waiting on his words. Because this is not just me talking. This is a gift, not from my wallet. This is a gift from the Spirit. So I'm waiting on him. And so in my heart, I sense the Holy Spirit tell her this. There's nothing she is going through in this season of life that I don't, number one, see, and number two, can't help her with. And that if she will call upon me, I will deliver her. And so I told her that. I said, there is nothing going on in your life right now that the Lord doesn't see. And there's also nothing going on in your life that he can't help you with if you'll just call out to him. By this time, she's sobbing. Why? Well, see, I just said that, and none of you are sobbing. Why? Those words came from me. I'm telling a story. In the gas station, not a gift from me. It's a gift from my intimate friend. It's a gift from the Holy Spirit. I'm just the channel he's working through. And she's sobbing. I mean, sobbing. So I asked her, I said, my wife's in the car. I said, is there anything we can pray with you for? And she can't speak because the Lord's ministering to her so much. Once again, he's not spooky. He's incredibly beautiful, life-changing, life-altering, changing the course of your life, just like Jesus did when he met people. Jesus said, he's just like me. So with this, the Holy Spirit's working on this lady, and I just let him work. And so I asked that question, is there anything me and my wife can pray with you for? She can't speak, so she prints out a receipt, you know, kind of hits the button where the receipt paper comes out, tears it, and she just writes on it, me and my fiance. By that time, after she writes that, she walks completely around the corner. We pray, long story short, she can't work her shift. She's in the bathroom crying, talking to the Lord, that kind of deal. Amazing, beautiful thing that blessed me and I'm sure blessed her. But here's my point. That's a manifestation of the Spirit of God. Jesus said, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, many Spirit-filled people have understood that, and they stop right there. You shall receive power. And all they think about is power coming from the Holy Spirit. Power. Let me get some goosebumps. Let me run. And they thank this power for me. And that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be something. What shall you be? A witness. It's going to help you witness. Remember what Jesus said the Holy Spirit will do. He will glorify me. He will glorify Jesus. Meaning, the Holy Spirit will never do anything that in the eyes of any visitor in this church, a visitor would leave here not wanting a more intimate relationship with Jesus. Paul said, sometimes in your assemblies, he wrote this to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He said there, I encourage you to read it. He said there are some things going on in your assemblies that when people leave the assemblies, if they're unlearned or unbelievers, they think you people are nuts. They think you are nuts. And he said, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the author of confusion, not in any church. I just can't help myself. He dealt with that too. He said, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And he said, if God is ministering to you, just sit there and be quiet and let God do a work in you. He said, seek the edifying of the body, not just the edification of yourself. Why? The Holy Spirit brings people to Jesus. By the end of that, that lady's in the bathroom worshiping the Lord, praying unto God, loving on Jesus. Why? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led her through a manifestation, led her into a deeper, more intimate relationship with Jesus. I could go on and on and tell you stories like that. I'll give you another one because it's Saturday night. And you know what? We don't have another service after this one. So there's no good excuse. I'll give you another one. Sitting in our service a couple of weeks ago on a 11:30 service on the front row. My mom and Marcus are sitting there. There's a couple sitting there next to them. The couple is engaged. During worship, the Lord speaks to both of their hearts. And if you're married, it should work out this way, where both of you get a co-witness. Their spirit agrees with your spirit, and you get it together. So with this, they get it in their heart at the exact same time. This happens with me and my wife all the time. Why? We share the same friend. So with this, they get a witness in their heart for the couple next to them to give them $1,000 for an engagement ring. I was thinking about telling the story. I was like, we're going to have a whole bunch of people sitting next to Mom and Marcus Sunday morning. But come back Sunday. You never know. But anyway, they're sitting there next to him. Give her $1,000 for an engagement ring. So after service, they walk up to him. I'm talking about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you're going to receive another comforter just like me. They walk up to him and told him what I just told you. During worship, the Lord spoke to our hearts and told you to do that. Lady starts bawling. They're getting married. They don't have any money for an engagement ring. They saw one that Thursday. Guess how much it cost? $1,000. They put it on layaway or something, and the guy said if they didn't have the money by Monday, he was going to have to go in another direction. You think it blessed them? Let me ask you this question. At the end of that, do you think they loved Jesus more or less? Well, how? The Holy Spirit led. He will lead you. He will guide you. Read Jesus. Jesus would say things like this. I must needs go through Samaria. He saw Zacchaeus, a wee bitty man, over in a tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, I must have lunch with you. I read that. Jesus said, I must. I wondered, who's giving Jesus orders? Who do you think is? The Holy Spirit. And it changed the course of that wee bitty man's life. By the end of it, this crooked mob boss really has given half of what he owns to the poor. And salvation came to his house. Why? Jesus had power to be a witness. Where did he get that power? When the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Jesus heals people from all different places. And at the end of doing it, he looks out and sees there's still so many people. There's still so many people. And his heart breaks. And he sighs and says, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray that the Father will send out laborers into his harvest. You know what he does after that? He gives to his disciples power. Power to go do what? To go be those laborers. What was the power for? So they could just sit around and have little disciple meetings? No, that power was to be in operation. Where? In their life. Why? Because there were some people that they were going to meet that Jesus never would meet. There'd be people at gas stations. There'd be people in churches. There'd be people sitting next to you that no one else knows. But He's given you the Holy Spirit and empowered you to be a witness to them. And that's why the Holy Spirit is here. To be, yes, a close, intimate friend, but also a source of power, not so I can just sit around and enjoy Him, but so that my life can be more effective for God's kingdom. I want you to have that. I'll go even further than that. The Lord needs you to have that. Because how many people have we walked through in gas stations, but because we didn't have a close, intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit, we walked right past Him? And Jesus is saying, if you just let the Holy Spirit manifest, how many different lives could be touched and changed and blessed? By the end of this series, I want you to have a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Comforter. The Comforter Jesus has given us. Amen. Let me pray with you before you leave. Father, bless these people. Strengthen them. Empower them. Help them know You, serve You, walk with You. But even more than that, Lord, let them be a blessing for You. Let the other Comforter, the one just like Jesus, the Holy Spirit, lead and guide them into all truth. Let them walk in that power to be a witness and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We thank You, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is a gift that's been given to us so that He can manifest through us in the lives of so many people who need Your help. We love You, Lord Jesus. We thank You for the amazing gift of the Holy Spirit. With every head bowed, every eye closed, we've talked about Him all night, but the Holy Spirit, He's here. He's my close, intimate friend. He's my helper, which means in the following part of this sermon, I don't have to do anything but ask. And as soon as I ask, if you need to make any type of change in your life, He's going to let you know. He's going to let you know. Your heart's going to know. So if you're here tonight and you need Jesus, you know in your heart right now that for whatever reason you may have drifted from Him or walked away from Him or are not walking with Him like you should. The Holy Spirit's got a job. It's His job to lead you to Jesus. And if you need Jesus, He's letting your heart know right now. That's not you. That's the Holy Spirit getting your attention. So I'm not going to embarrass you. But right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm not going to make you walk an aisle. This is just between you and God. If you need to make a decision for Jesus, the Holy Spirit's dealing with you right now to make a decision for Jesus. Would you lift your hand? Just lift your hand. Hands going up all over the place. Anyone else? Anyone else? Hands going up? Anybody else? See those hands. God bless you. Now, whether you raised your hand or should have raised your hand, or didn't raise your hand, or don't need to raise your hand, just say this prayer with me. Just repeat it after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe You sent Jesus to die for me. I believe not only did He die, but on the third day, He rose again from the grave. Jesus, You're my Lord. You're my Savior. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Jesus, You have forgiven me of every mistake, every fault, every failure. You've forgiven me, so I forgive myself. And I'll say boldly, my best days are starting right now. In Jesus' name, amen.